So I entitled this message, The Christian and the Ten Commandments. What do we do with them? Do we try to obey them like the Jews do? Do we ignore them completely because they're in the Old Testament? Do we keep breaking them because we feel they're not important? Let's look at those Ten Commandments. Let's see what God has to say in His Word. The Ten Commandments are found in Exodus chapter 20. If you have your Bible, you could turn to that. Exodus 20, 1 through 17. These are commandments God gave Moses. To give to the people. Exodus 20, 1 through 17. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which has brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Here's the first commandment. Verse 3. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. If something comes before God, it's an idol. It's a god with a small g. It could be your health, your family, your dreams. Anything that comes before God, anything that is first in your life, your pleasure. You know, Paul said in the last days, perilous times will come, for people will be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. God's not against us having pleasure unless it comes before Him. So if anything comes before God, with a capital G, it's a god with a little g. The second commandment, verse 4, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of any image that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. But that's not the whole commandment. It was the radio preacher Harold Camping who started out well and went off on a tangent. He said even the pictures in children's Bibles is idolatry, he said, because you made an image of a dog, of a cat, of a moon, of a sun. Right? That's not the entire command. In fact, that would make photography idolatry, right? Because a photography is making an image of something. In fact, you can take it further than that. You can imagine in your mind a flock of geese flying past the sunset. That would be idolatry because you just made an image in your mind. Verse 5 explains it. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. And so the command, the second command of not making images, has to do with bowing down to them, as the pagans do. Not to bow down to them, not to worship them. The third commandment, verse 7, Exodus 20, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that takes his name in vain. Fourth commandment, verse 8, following, this is the Sabbath keeping commandment. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days thou shalt labor and do no work. The seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work. Thou shalt not, thou, not thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, maidservant, cattle, nor stranger within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. You notice something, the Sabbath day started out not as a temple-going day, not as a church-going day, It started out as just a day of no work. That's it. There are no other attachments to it. You just can't work. Your cattle can't work. Can't plow a field. It's a day of rest. The fifth commandment is found in verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that the days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God gives thee. Honor your father and mother. Sixth commandment, thou shalt not kill. That means thou shalt not murder. Seventh commandment, verse 14, thou shalt not commit adultery. The eighth commandment, verse 15, thou shalt not steal. Some translation says defraud, and that's good. Because you can defraud people like Zacchaeus did. You can cheat a customer. That's stealing. That's defrauding. Thou shalt not steal. The ninth command in verse 16, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. It's as they did to Jesus. And the last commandment, verse 17, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant or maidservant, nor his ox or his donkey, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Okay. In our attempt to find out what Christians should do with these commandments, try to keep them, disregard them, think them unimportant, or keep them, you have to go to the New Testament. And what you find out in the New Testament is that 9 out of the 10 commandments that God gave Moses are in the New Testament. Not as a reference point, not as something that happened, but something that should be done. 9 out of the 10. The one that is excluded is the 4th commandment, keep the Sabbath day holy. That's right. Christians, under the blood of Jesus Christ, that's how we're made Christians, faith in Him, do not have to keep the Sabbath like the ancient Jews did. There's a new Sabbath day we read of. Okay? So 9 out of the 10 Old Testament commandments are taught to be followed and obeyed in the New Testament with a change of the 4th commandment. Again, that first commandment is to have no other gods. Let's read 1 Timothy 2:5. And very simply put, okay, 1 Timothy 2:5, there is one God, writes the Apostle Paul. That's 1 Timothy 2:5. For there is one God and one mediator between that one God, and that man is Christ Jesus. So there's only one God. Just one. You can't have another God. God despises the other gods that we make. There's just one God and one mediator. And that mediator is not the priest of the church. It's not the pastor. Remember one number of years ago, there was, after the chapel service at the adult home, a Jewish man came up to me. He used to sit out. He would never come in and listen, but he'd sit out and listen from the other room. And he came to me and said, Pastor Paul, on Judgment Day, I want you to stand between me and God. Believe me, I wasn't flattered, okay? I said, sir, you don't want me to stand between you and God. You want Jesus Christ. There is one mediator. It's not the priest, not the pastor. It's Jesus. In 1 John 5:21, we see the second commandment. Yes, they're given to us with different words, but they're meant to be obeyed, and this one goes together with the first commandment. 1 John 5:21. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. That's a command. Do not make any idols. People worship pleasure. You haven't crafted anything unless it's your hobby. People have hobbies, and that's why they live, for their hobbies. The third command was, do not misuse the name of the Lord. 1 Timothy 6:1. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all labor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. Again, it's couched in different language, different sentence, but it's saying the name of God must not be blasphemed. And people use the name of God as a curse. They'll use it in the vilest of sentences. Honor your father and mother, Ephesians 6, 1 and 2. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother. Now in Romans chapter 13, we find a whole slew of these Old Testament commandments taught. Romans chapter 13, verse 9. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery. That's the seventh commandment. Thou shalt not kill. Right? That is the sixth commandment. Thou shalt not steal. That is the eighth commandment. Thou shalt not bear false witness. That's the ninth commandment. Thou shalt not covet. That's the tenth commandment. Okay? So you see a number of commandments there being commanded by the great apostle Paul. No other gods before me, for there's one God. Do not make idols out of anything. Honor your father and mother. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not defraud someone. Don't cheat someone. Do not give false testimony. And do not covet. Now let's just explain that fourth commandment, the Sabbath day. It has been changed like other commands, right? In fact, if you turn to Matthew chapter 5, you'll see another command that was changed. Matthew 5, verse 38, you have heard it has been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I say to you that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And then in verse 43, you have heard that it's been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate your enemy, but I say, love your enemies. So, under the new covenant, and that's what makes the new covenant better, it's in Christ's blood, there have been some changes. And the change of this Sabbath day law is greater than it was for the Jews. The Jews were to rest one day a week. But we read in Hebrews chapter 4 of a new day, a new Sabbath day. And it's not a rest for one day a week, but it's rest for an entire life. It's a spiritual rest, and that's why it's been changed. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. And there's a phrase that the apostle here, if it's the apostle Paul, he makes it five times. One phrase. His rest, referring to Christ's rest or God's rest. Hebrews 4, 1 through 11. This is the new Sabbath. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest. There are all kinds of rest. There's a rest you get on a recliner, a rest you can find on a hammock, there's a rest you can find on vacation, but then as the ultimate rest is his rest. the rest that Jesus had as he was being crucified. In spite of the pain, he had rest, he had peace. He was calm. But lest any of you should come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, the Jews. But the word preached did not profit them. Why? Not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. It's only by faith in Jesus Christ, the slain Lamb of God and the risen Savior, only by faith in him can we enter into a perfect rest, his rest. For we which have believed, that's faith. Remember, the Jews did not enter into the promised land because of lack of faith. But we who have believed do enter into rest. As he said, I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall not enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world, for he spoke in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remains that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in, again repeating, because of unbelief. Again, he limits a certain day, saying to David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. Another day. Another Sabbath day. There remains, therefore, a rest to the people of God. It's not Saturday and it's not Sunday. For he that entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Very important. 6 days God worked, seventh day he rested. Let us labor, therefore, 6 days, not a physical 6 days, but there's labor to enter into that rest or his rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Let us labor to enter into his rest. That labor is spoken of here. For he that has entered into his rest, verse 10, has ceased from his own works. When you cease from yourself, when you stop trusting yourself, when you stop thinking it's your labor that will get you to heaven, when you cease from yourself, the less and less we serve self, the more and more we shall have the rest of Christ. Depends on ceasing from our own works. And the works, instead, will be the works of the Holy Spirit. Andrew Murray said, abide in Jesus, the sinless one, which means give up all of self and his life, and dwell in God's will and rest in his strength. This is what brings the power that does not commit sin. Rest in his strength, said Murray. Rest in his word. Rest in his promises. Rest in his will. Whatever it be. Rest in his glory, his perfection, his holiness. Rest in his labor that was done on the cross. Rest in him. As we cease from ourselves, we find rest in him, perfect rest. So as long as self is still active and you want your own way and you're going to covet, you're going to bear false witness against someone, you're going to defraud someone, somewhere along the line you'll break those commandments again and again, unless self is truly dead. Let's turn to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 19. This is the story of the rich young ruler who came to Jesus. This story is found in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Each gospel writer portrays something a little different. You put them together, you have the complete picture. A young man, wealthy man, a ruler, a religious man, he seems to have everything the world wants, or what the world wanted in his day: Judaism, religion, youth, wealth, power. Maybe he was a ruler in the synagogue, which wasn't too often had for young men, but he could have been a young magistrate. He comes to Jesus. What good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Jesus could have quickly said, you can't do anything good. What are you talking about? Your goodness is as filthy rags. Jesus didn't say that. And this gives us some proper meaning to what we should do with the Ten Commandments. What good thing shall I do to have eternal life? Jesus said, why do you call me good? But there is none good but one, that is God. Christ wasn't saying I'm not good. Christ was saying, because I'm God, I'm good, and that's the only one who's good. But if you would enter into life, have faith. That's what Apostle Paul and Silas said to the jailer, who said, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But Jesus was not contradicting that. Paul and Silas were not contradicting Jesus, as we'll see. If you would be saved, he's saying, if you would enter into life, eternal life, keep the commandments. He said to Jesus, which ones? Jesus said, thou shalt not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal or defraud. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. It's interesting why Jesus only spoke of six commandments. There are different opinions on it. I have one, others have opinion. Only six commandments. I think because Jesus knew this man kept them. These are the ones he kept. The young man said, all these things have I kept from my youth up. You know, the Bible says Jesus loved this man in a special way because he was being honest. But he said, what am I lacking? What am I missing? In Luke, I think it says, Jesus says to him, you're missing something. Not a contradiction. He's saying, I'm missing something. Jesus is saying, you're missing something. What is it? I'm religious. You're telling me to keep the commandments to have life? Some say Jesus said that because he knew nobody could keep the commandments. I wonder why God commands us to do something he knows we can't keep. All these things I have kept from my youth up, what am I lacking? Here's what he was lacking. Here's what good religious people are lacking. Jesus said to him, if you will be complete, go and sell that which you have, give it to the poor, thou shalt have treasure in heaven, come and follow me. You have the scriptures that says, take up your cross and follow me. So Jesus said to this young man, inquiring on how to find eternal life, keep the commandments. He asked, which ones? Jesus says, these six. Jesus knew he kept these six. But the greatest commandment, he did not keep. And that is the first commandment. Have no other gods. And Jesus was putting the young man to the test when he said to him, give away all your goods to the poor, take up your cross, and follow me. He was saying to this young man who was seeking eternal life, You need faith in me so you can give up all the world's possessions and take up your cross and follow me. That's faith. Faith without works is dead. Faith without obedience to God is dead. Have no other gods before me. Anything that comes before God is another god with a small g. The Bible says he had great possessions. And he went away sorrowful because he was rich. That's why he went away sorrowful. Jesus said right after that to his disciples, how difficult it will be for a rich man to enter heaven. It didn't matter what commandments he kept. If you don't keep that first commandment, you really can't keep the others. You will be lacking. You will be deficient. You see, this rich young man, like many of his ancestors, recorded of in the Old Testament, had a favorite god. That god was Baal. Baal went by many names. They even called Jehovah Baal. But there's one Baal, Baal Haman. He's the Lord of wealth. Yes, this young man, he had a religion. He knew the commandments. But he worshipped Baal Haman. Baal Hanan. The Lord of wealth. Now what I'm going to say is going to sound like heresy, maybe. But you have to keep the Ten Commandments if you want to enter heaven. If your faith says, I don't need them, I just have faith in Jesus. That's why Martin Luther, the Reformer, coined the word antinomianism. There were many in the Reformation, I just need faith. I don't have to obey. I don't need the works. But if you don't agree with that, then what you're agreeing with, now listen, if you're saying, I don't have to obey the Ten Commandments, then what you're saying is, I can murder and get to heaven, I can covet and get to heaven, I can commit adultery and get to heaven, I can worship images and get to heaven, I can have other gods, I can falsely accuse, I can dishonor my parents, I can use God's name as a swear word any way I want, and I'll still get to heaven. But that's, of course, not the case. We read in Revelation chapter 21, verse 8, the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone. This is the second death. How do we keep the Ten Commandments? It's only through faith in Jesus Christ. And because of that faith, read Romans 5:5, the love of God, love for his name, love for his children, love for his honor, love for his word, love for his will, is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. How do we keep the Ten Commandments? You're either going to continue breaking them, disregard them, think little of them. Now remember, it wasn't Moses who wrote them. It was God's finger that wrote them on the tablet. These are the word of God. Summed up in one word, love. That's how we keep the Ten Commandments. Let's turn back to Romans chapter 13 and read some verses 9 and 10. We read verse 9. Romans 13, 8 through 10. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. If there be any other commandment, is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as you love yourself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Or you could say, love fulfills the law. Love will keep the law. See, if you are filled with the love of God, you will not worship images. You will not bow to a statue. I told the prayer meeting group on Saturday, I saw a group of Roman Catholics standing around a statue of Mary saying, "She, Mary, is our refuge." Well, that means when you stand before God, if Mary is your refuge, you're going to be naked and ashamed before God. You will be uncovered. By saying that, I didn't see them bow down and kiss her feet, but they were worshiping an image. They were worshiping what they thought, an imaginary mother of Jesus. If you are filled with God's love, you will not worship images. You will not use his name in vain. If you are filled with love, you will labor to enter into his rest because he commands you to. Because you love him so much, you want his rest. If you're filled with God's love, you don't have to think, should I honor my mother and father? No, you will honor your mother and father. If you're filled with God's love, you're not going to murder anyone because you love them. Your neighbor as much as you love yourself. You will not commit adultery. If you're filled with God's love, you will not steal, you will not take from another, because you love that person as well as loving God. You will not covet what is your neighbor's. As I said a couple weeks ago, love has a higher calling. I didn't say love, there's a higher calling than love. I didn't say that. But there's a higher calling for love, and that is to love holiness. Remember what God said to the prophet Isaiah, there's a highway and it shall be called the way of holiness, the way of separation unto God. And so people say, yeah, I love Jesus. Are you obeying Jesus? Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And those 10 commandments are the commandments of Jesus. The 4th commandment, the Sabbath day has been changed, made better, because now we have a rest in our heart continually, a peace, a joy continually. We are worshiping not just in church, but all throughout the day. As Jesus said to the woman at the well, when you worship in the mountain, the Jews worship in Jerusalem, the time will come when we will neither worship here nor there, but worship God in spirit and truth. In order to keep those commandments, let's say 2 through 9, or 2 through 10, you must keep the first. If you treasure anything more than God, if you love anything more than Jesus Christ, you will not, you cannot keep the commands, you will live a disobedient life. Again, that was the great sin of the rich young ruler. He was worshiping Baal Haman. You may try to keep God's commandments, but you will fail. Putting God first, putting Jesus at the top, will provide supernatural strength to obey whatever God commands you. Jesus must have the preeminence in your life. We read in Colossians 1:18, he is the head of the body. The church is the body, Jesus is the head. The church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, Jesus is, that in all things he might have the preeminence. that he might be number one. What do Christians do with the Ten Commandments? We don't discard them as Old Testament legalistic. We don't ignore them because people do today. We keep them through love. And as we grow in love, we'll do better at keeping them because we still break them. We don't mean to. But we still fail. And that's why we need to grow in love. John Bunyan, author of Pilgrim's Progress, and by the way, I have a couple of copies. If you haven't read Pilgrim's Progress yet, I encourage you to do that. They're not for sale. They're a gift if you would like one. John Bunyan said, "It's not my prayers, not my tears, not my words, not my things. Do they come from the work of the Spirit of Christ itself within me? Yet these shall not have the glory of my salvation." See, though we are commanded to obey God, we never, never trust in our obedience to God. Don't trust in your faith. Because if you trust in your obedience and you trust in your faith, that becomes your idol. You trust only in Christ. You trust only in his word and his promises. "These," says Bunyan, "my works, my tears, my prayers, shall have no glory of my salvation. No, it is none but the blood of Christ, the death of Christ, of the man Christ Jesus of Nazareth, the carpenter's son. He must have the crown and glory of my salvation. None but Christ, none but Christ." And thus the soul labors to give Christ the preeminence. Thus my soul labors to give Christ the preeminence. Yes, we have to labor for that. Just as we have to labor to enter into his rest by ceasing from our own wills, we have to labor to make sure Jesus gets the preeminence. That he's always at the top, always first in our life. Let him never slip to second place. Let him never become more important than your health. We've got to be willing to sacrifice our health for Christ. That's how much we are to love him. We have to be willing to sacrifice our children for Christ if that's how much we love him, to show how much we love him. But never let Jesus slip out of first place in your life. Labor that give him the preeminence, said Bunyan. Right. We'll sing a song in closing. Number 634, "More love to thee, O Christ, more love to thee. Hear thou the prayer I make on bended knee." We'll stand. If you haven't put Christ first in your life, do it now. Make him your Lord. That's why we teach Lordship salvation here. He must be first, Lord of all our thoughts and ambitions. And when we put him first, he will give us strength to keep all the other commandments, even those that are not listed in Exodus chapter 20. All right, 634. "More love to thee, O Christ, more love to thee. Hear of a prayer I make on bended knee. This is my earnest plea, more love, O Christ, to thee, more love to thee, more love to thee. Once earthly joy I crave, sought peace and rest. Now thee alone I seek,
in what is best. This all my prayer shall be, O love, O Christ, to thee, more love to thee, more love to thee. In shall my latest breath whisper thy praise, this be the parting cry my heart shall raise. This still its prayer shall be, more love, O Christ, to thee, more love to thee, more love to thee. That's why John the Baptist said, he must increase, but I must decrease. As we cease from ourselves, we enter further and further into that perfect rest of Christ. So remember, as a Christian, you are to be walking on that highway called holiness. That is the higher calling that love seeks, holiness. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that there is a highway that leads to heaven. Let us not forget, Lord, it's called the way of holiness. Follow peace with all men in holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Help us, Lord, because sometimes we are far from the holiness of God. And you know that. May we know it. And may we press on, climbing higher and higher, that higher ground. May we seek that, Lord. We want to obey you. We don't want to think that these Ten Commandments are obsolete. There are other commandments in the Old Testament, certainly, Lord, many that we do not have to obey. But these ten are repeated in the New Testament as a reminder to be obedient children. Lord, bless this congregation. They are precious in your sight. And Lord, you pity us as a father pities his children. Lord, you know we are dust. And that's why you pity us, Lord. Continue, Lord, to shower us with mercy that we might grow to love you more, to labor more and more, to cease from self, to enter into your perfect rest. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.